It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello. Welcome to Extra Time with Liam Horbin, presented by Betway. We're back for another one. They keep us on the air. I don't even know what episode number this is. I think 10. We made it to 10, double digits. What more could you want? But yes, welcome to the show. Thank you everybody for joining me here on this, what is going to be a nice weekend ahead, it looks to be. Lots of football to play for. Today the main topic is going to be the Premier League title race. It's an absolute barn burner right now. It is coming down to the wire, especially after Arsenal blew that lead against Liverpool over the weekend. There was also the mayhem with the linesman and Andy Robertson, which was figured out today. I'm not going to try and say the linesman's name because I won't be able to do it, but apparently they had a Zoom call and figured out their differences and moved on with their lives, which is always nice to get over things that easily. I don't in particular get over things that easily, but some people do. But anyways, that was good. But basically what that did was, like I said, just make the title race wide open. Arsenal still in the driver's seat, of course, I believe. They have 8 games left. City have 9 because they have a game in hand, which would be up against Brighton. I don't believe the date is actually set for that one yet as we have this discussion, because that game is being moved because City is in the semi-finals of a competition, FA Cup. I can't remember the playing off the top of my head. But anyway, Arsenal, 30 games played, 23 wins, 4 draws, 3 losses, sitting at the top of the table with 73 points. City, 29 games played, 21 wins, 4 draws, 4 losses, 67 points on the table. Newcastle then in third with 56, United 56, Spurs 53, Aston Villa out of nowhere, 47. Hello, Unai Emery. Imagine if they had Unai Emery for the entire season and not Steven Gerrard. The squad is where it should be right now. Got a good group of players. I'm happy for Villa fans for where they are after having to go down to the Championship, selling the best player, Jack Grealish, who has now become arguably City's best player. No, him and Haaland. Obviously, KDB is always in the conversation, but Grealish is, he's been on fire. But before we get into the Premier League chatter, big thing is happening in Canada this weekend, and I want to shine some light on it because it's a massive occasion. The Canadian Premier League is back in action. The boys are back on the field. No FC Edmonton this season, unfortunately, because a bunch of ownership stuff. They couldn't get the money sorted out. And to be honest, it should have been more supported well, but in Edmonton, it was in a bit of a bad spot, to be honest. Right next to Commonwealth Stadium, they weren't playing at a real football stadium. It was essentially, they brought in some bleachers, did what they can, and didn't work out. There's been a few teams now here in Edmonton, and I think the city has got a long way to go before they can support a club team on a week-in, week-out basis during the summer. Hey, in Edmonton, we're stuck inside for long portions of the year. We have our hockey, and then summer comes around, everyone wants to go to the lake. No one wants to go to an FC Edmonton game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, unfortunately for them, but hopefully one day we can see something in this capacity in the city. We've had a lot of success with FIFA tournaments. Obviously, the CONCACAF games were here last year for Canada's World Cup qualifying against Mexico and Costa Rica. I was in the Mexico game. Fantastic event. Absolutely freeze my ass off for 90 minutes. But boy, oh boy, was it awesome. And I would do it again for the same result, of course. If they lost, I wouldn't go. I'm a Glory fan, people. I'm a Glory fan. But anyway, actually, no, I'm a Bull and Wonders fan. Although we did just win a trophy the other day, but we had a tough draw on Saturday. Was it Saturday? Monday, sorry. This Easter weekend really threw a wrench in everything for me. Monday against Cambridge, you were in a relegation spot in League One. 94th minute equaliser after Declan John gave Bolton a 1-0 lead. Cambridge equalised to their credit as they're fighting for relegation, whatever. All you're good for is a university, Cambridge. Bolton are out here winning trophies. Anyways, Canadian Premier League. What do we got on the tap? So for people who don't know, there are currently 8 teams in the Canadian Premier League. 8 teams. There's a new team after FC Edmonton dropped out. Vancouver FC got a team. So Vancouver now has, I believe they have Pacific, obviously the Vancouver Whitecaps, and now Vancouver FC. So well-supported city for sports, Vancouver. Also a massive population, so it really works out. So you got Atletico Ottawa, who were the runners-up last season. Then you also have the Cavalry FC, which is in Calgary. I've been to a couple of Cavalry FC games. Amazing. Absolutely fantastic atmosphere. I go down there with my girlfriend and her sister and I guess possibly my future brother-in-law one day. If things keep going right, that's what it'll be. Fantastic time. They put on a really good atmosphere. Great skill on the pitch. And just, honestly, a venue too. I can't remember what it's called, but it's this old racehorse track, which doesn't sound very appealing. But they really made it something. And it's a very unique stadium. If you haven't seen it, look it up. I can't remember what it's called, but there's something about flowers or something in the title. So that's really cool. And the event they put on within the grounds of it all, they've got some fantastic concession, really nice beer gardens, massive screen too in the fan zone where you can watch other Canadian teams that are going on when you're kind of wandering around or it's halftime or something like that. So that's really cool. Who else we got? Forge FC, who are the current champions of the Canadian Premier League. Halifax Wanderers, maybe I should support them. Pacific FC, Valor FC, Vancouver FC, and York United FC. So if you're in one of those little communities where those teams are playing, go give them a watch. It's a lot of fun, actually. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised if you're a football fan craving some top talent. I would go check that one out. There's some good players there. There's no real former like European stars, but Joe Mason, who actually went to the European Championships with Republic of Ireland, plays for the Calgary Cavalry. Also a former Bolton Wanderers player. Something to keep in mind.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyways, that's happening. Obviously, MLS is going on too. Maybe we'll have someone on about the MLS in a couple of weeks here. Bolton big match against Oxford. But like I said, the big talking point for me this week is all about the Premier League title race. There's some other good title races too going on. Ligue 1 has quickly turned into a title race. I think Paris will just go out and win that one anyway. But the teams are fighting back. Obviously, the Bundesliga has been great this season. Bayern Munich currently in first with 58. Dortmund, 56. Union Berlin have fallen off the pace a little bit, unfortunately, with 51. But regardless, absolutely amazing season by them. And then also RB Leipzig rounding out the Champions League spots there. Quickly to Serie A, that title race is all but done. Napoli, 74 points. Lazio in second with 58. Rome and AC Milan closing out the Champions League spots again. La Liga, essentially done. Barcelona have ran away with it. Two losses all season. 72 points. Real Madrid with 59. But one that is quite intriguing is that Feyenoord. They had a big win in the Europa League today, or yesterday, sorry, against Rome. And I can't really remember their unbeaten streak. I think it's in double digits now, but they're on the climb, becoming a great European team again. It's looking like we'll see them back in the Champions League for the first time in a while. 2017 was the last time they won the Eredivisie. So good to see them get back on top and just kind of, you know, it's always nice to see some different teams win these trophies, to be honest. The usual suspects behind them, though, Ajax, PSV, both 59, AZ Alkmaar, FC 20, and then the rest of the teams. If I said them, I don't know if you would know them, to be honest. I'll say one. Sparta, Rotterdam. Must have got that one. I said roll my tongue a little bit there. Benfica running away with theirs too. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. I feel like every time I keep going on these little spiels off a little bit. But anyways, Premier League. So like I said, Arsenal, 8 games left. Manchester City, 9 games left in the Premier League because of the extra game in hand they have against Brighton, which will come up at some point. There's no date scheduled there for now. But let's quickly run through Arsenal's 8 games they have remaining. So this weekend coming up, they have West Ham away, Southampton at home after that, Manchester City away. That one might be the title decider, depending on how things go. Chelsea at home, Newcastle away, Brighton at home, Forest away, Wolves to round out the season at the Emirates Stadium. City, 9 games left. Leicester, Arsenal at home, like I just said, obviously, if Arsenal are playing City, City will play them too. Arsenal at home, Fulham away, West Ham at home, Leeds at home, Everton away, Chelsea at home, Brentford away, and then somewhere mixed in there is the Brighton away game too. So one of those weeks will be a busy week of fixtures for City. So obviously we're all thinking Arsenal versus City is going to be the biggest game of the season for both teams. They have played each other earlier in the season, about 2 months ago at the recording of this, February 15th. And it wasn't a pleasant Valentine's Day for Arsenal, losing 3-1 at home to City. Their only loss at the Emirates Stadium this season. So one other thing we'll quickly dive into here is just kind of the records of the teams before we go through each fixture and talk about who can win, who won't win, blah, blah, blah. City have lost one game at home this season. It was against Brentford, a 2-1 loss. It was, if you remember, it was the game right before the World Cup break. So what was that, December 10th to 15th, somewhere in that range. City have 5 home games left. Not as great away from home. 3 losses, 3 draws. Draws came against Newcastle, which was a thriller at the start of the season. That was a fantastic game. Aston Villa, and then the most recent one was the most recent draw was Nottingham Forest, when I think it was Chris Wood, or maybe it was Jesse Lingard, I can't remember, got a late equaliser in that one. The lost games at home, Liverpool, Manchester United, which was 2-1 to United, Tottenham, 1-0. That was the most recent dropped points at, I want to call it the City of Manchester Stadium, but it's not called that anymore, is it? What's it called? Manchester City's football stadium. Come on, Liam. Hosting a football podcast. You don't even know the name of the stadiums. What is that place called? That's how irrelevant the grounds are to me now. What is it? It's not even coming up. My granddad lives in Gorton. I should know this. Anyways, it used to be called the City of Manchester Stadium when they moved from Main Road to their Etihad Stadium. Just out of curiosity, I wonder when it was changed names. You kind of forget what they're all called. That's why Old Trafford's nice, because it's always just been Old Trafford. And also St. James's Park has changed its name to, and what's it called now? The Sports Direct, or maybe it's changed back. Oh yeah, it did change back when Astley lost his ownership rights there. Oh, I can't even find it. Either way, City Manchester Stadium Evolution, there you go. Go look it up on Wikipedia if you really care that much, like me. So there you go. That's City's away record. Arsenal, one lost at home, two drawn at home. Obviously, lost to City 3-1, like we mentioned. They also lost to Brentford. Oh, sorry, they drew against Brentford. For some reason, when I was writing my notes, one of the teams they drew against was Arsenal. So I can't remember who the other team was. For some reason, I want to say Brighton. Or was it Villa? I can't remember. Whatever. Arsenal do have a bit of a more difficult final 8 games, though. 3 games against the top 7 in the league. So, with all that considered, and the fact that neither team, frankly, loses at home, ever, let's assume that they just win the home games. I think that's probably fair, right? So that would give Arsenal a win over Southampton, which logically, yes. A win over Chelsea, which we don't really know what Chelsea are going to be by that point. Frank Lampard maybe has got a bit more rhythm in the team. But for now, for time's sake, Chelsea, they'll beat Chelsea at home. Then they have Brighton, which will be a tough match. Obviously, Brighton, a very, very good team this season. One of those 3 teams from the top 7 that they'll be facing. Wolves at home. So that's 4 wins. Southampton, Chelsea, Brighton, and Wolves. So that's 12 points for Arsenal. Okay. So West Ham this weekend is what the one is. I think they'll bounce back. I think this is early in the... They've done a good job of the bouncing back kind of stuff, haven't they, Arsenal? I mean, it's not like West Ham have been in great form either. Not having a fantastic season. Just lost 5-1 to Newcastle as well during the week. The other week, April 5th. So, got a win over Fulham. But I'm just not buying it right now from West Ham, to be honest. The two of them obviously have played once already this season. West Ham did have a 1-0 lead in that game. Ben Rama scored a penalty in the 27th minute. And then Saka, Martinelli, and Eddie Nketiah scored. Make it 3-1 for Arsenal. And West Ham have just had a poor, poor record all season, to be frank. But also, just against the top teams in the league. You know, just to list off a few here. 2-0 loss to start the season against City. Lost to Brighton 2-0. Did get a draw of Tottenham, who were the most inconsistent team in the league. So, makes sense. Lost to Chelsea. Who else they lost to? Lost to Liverpool, lost to United, lost to Arsenal, like I said, Brentford, drew against Newcastle, drew against Chelsea, lost to United, lost to Brighton. It's just all lining up for a good win for Arsenal, I think. So there's 5 wins for Arsenal. So right now we have them being West Ham, Southampton, Chelsea, Brighton, Wolves. So that takes us down one more. The City game. So this will kind of cross paths for both. Can Arsenal get revenge on City after what City did to them on their home pitch? The answer is yes. Yes, Arsenal can beat Manchester City. However, if we're going off the logic that these two teams are not going to lose at home during this final run of the season, then no. I'm just going to put it out there that this will be a loss for Arsenal. So we'll figure out the math at the end. But for now, that is a loss for Manchester City. Just kidding. Arsenal. Manchester Arsenal. Just kidding again. They're called Arsenal. Chelsea, like I said, they'll win that one. Newcastle. Now, another team that only has 1 loss all season at home. And we saw what Newcastle have done against City already this season when they at the St. James's Park when they drew 3-3. Newcastle recently, 2-1 win against Brentford, 5-1 against West Ham, beat United 2-0 at home, beat Forest 2-1 away, beat Wolves 2-1 at home, did lose to City, lost to United back-to-back, both away. The United loss was in the AFL Cup, then they also lost to Newcastle, obviously not Liverpool. Newcastle obviously don't concede a lot of goals, and they don't score a ton either, all things considered. 48 goals this season, only 21 allowed, which is fewer than both Arsenal and City. So with that said, I think it's fair to assume that this game won't be a loss for Arsenal, but instead a draw. And a pencil on this one is a draw. I think it's a fair result. Newcastle, good record against these top six teams, but I think there'll be a draw. I think Newcastle might play out for a draw. Brighton, I said Arsenal would win, but that will be a very, very difficult game. Brighton fairly good away from home this season, but again, Arsenal one loss away at home, so got to go with that one. Forest, now this one I think might be the trickiest game of the lot, which sounds strange considering they have Newcastle and City in there and Brighton. But Nottingham Forest, as we speak, are currently in a relegation spot. So this is with 8 games left for Forest. They have 30 games played, 27 points. I could see this one being troublesome, especially being at the City ground. I think this might be a hiccup, but also at this point in the season, you got to consider the fact that Arsenal are pushing for the first Premier League title since the Invincibles. Are they going to let it slip at the City ground? I'm going to say no. I think Arsenal will come out on top of this one, but Forest might give them a good match in this one. That'll be one to watch. And then they round out this calendar with a Wolves home game, which I think they'll win. So that's that. That's 8 games under wraps. We'll do the records at the end, so don't do the math. If you've been playing along with the math, cancel that out, because we're going to go over at the end together as a group. All right? Good. City, 9 games left. Like I said, Brighton, we don't know when it is, so I just put them at the bottom of this. Actually, we'll do Brighton now. I think Brighton will be a difficult match for City. I think that is where City will. I think they'll lose that one. I think that's a match City will lose. Just Brighton, they're a pesky, pesky team, well managed. The fact is that Brighton too makes it interesting to me. If this was at the Etihad, I'd have City locked in. But I'm going to say this is a City loss. So there you go. Right off the bat, just throwing City right under the bus. But the first official match before that even comes about against Brighton and Hove Albion is against Leicester City at home. Leicester, brutal this season. Just sacked Brendan Rodgers. Haven't won since February 11th, which is crazy. New manager bump maybe in Dean Smith. I don't really see that happening. I think they should have gone with Jesse Marsh, to be honest, and Dean Smith, who couldn't get it done in the Championship. Most recently with, what was he with, Norwich? Yeah, got relegated. Yeah, it was him. But he did win in his first match with Norwich when they were in the Premiership last season. So it's an interesting one, actually. I didn't even think about that little wrinkle. But again, it's at Manchester City, so got to give City the win. Arsenal, we already discussed that match. In fact, it's at City, gives them the win. So that's 6 points for City so far. Fulham away. Fulham will still be out without Mitrovic. Sorry. A lot of mistakes in this podcast. I'll cut them out. No, I won't. Fulham away, they'll win that one too because they won't have Mitrovic. Fulham kind of falling off a little bit in the back this little part of the season, but fantastic season for them as a whole. Great to see them back in the Premier League and competing at a very high level and not just spending all this money in the world and going back down again. West Ham at home, got to give them the win there. So that's 4 wins in a row for City. Leeds at home, got to give them the win. Everton away. Does Sean Dyche get something done? I liked Sean Dyche's comments today, actually, just on a sidebar, about Dele Alli. Dele Alli was an absolute menace in the Premier League for a few years there. It was a great player with Tottenham. And then all of a sudden, also great at the 2010 World Cup for England as well. Looked like him and Harry Kane were kind of the future of the country. Harry Kane has obviously taken that role and continued to run. But Dele Alli has fallen off a cliff, unfortunately. And now he is back with Everton after Everton bought him when Frank Lampard was there. I believe the fee was around 50 million and it just didn't work out for him at all. Went to Besiktas. There was all these rumors about him and now he's back at Everton injured. They sent him back. Kind of all makes sense. You don't want an injured player who's on loan if the season's kind of coming to a wraps. And Sean Dyche had good comments and just being like, look, like he's injured. We're not addressing everything at the moment, but he's our player and we're going to try and make him better. And I don't know if that Dele Alli necessarily works under a Sean Dyche management, but also I think from a human perspective, I think it'd be very good. It seems like Sean Dyche is a very understanding person who's the meat and potatoes and seems like a very honest man. So I really, really hope Dele Alli can come back in some form. You know, it's going to be difficult for him to get back to that world-class form he was in. Is it fair to say Dele Alli was the best young player in the world at one point? I don't think that's completely unreasonable, but it's going to be difficult for him to get back there. But it'd be nice to see him contribute, I think is a nice way to put it. So hopefully Sean Dyche can figure it out for Dele Alli. And you know what? Maybe if Everton get relegated, which doesn't feel like they are in 17th, I suppose, but I feel like Sean Dyche might be able to figure it out for them. Like, but if they were to hypothetically get relegated, maybe it wouldn't be too bad for Dele Alli just to get things rolling again for him. But either way, I do think City will win that game because Everton just aren't that team anymore, are they? Lost 2-0 to United, good draw against Spurs, good draw against Chelsea, beat Brentford, draw against Forest, but did lose 4-0 against Arsenal, then Villa before that too. So maybe they can get a draw. I don't see Everton getting a win, but the fact it's at Goodison Park is in favour of Everton, but doesn't sit well for me, that one. We'll see, but we'll put that one out there as an Everton loss. Chelsea at home, got to give the City the win if we're going off this home thing. But again, what is that Chelsea team going to look like at that point? Are they going to be demoralized because it's the end of the season and they're all thinking, okay, Lampard's not here for much longer? Or are they going to be kind of up for things and fighting a little bit more and finding some chemistry? Like, we truly don't know what this Chelsea team is going to look like at all. So that's going to be an intriguing piece for me of where Chelsea will be at, but I think City will win. Brentford away. Now, Brentford have caused a lot of trouble for top six teams this season. We'll quickly run through the record of what they've been able to accomplish, but every single time Brentford go out and play one of these top six teams, it's like they're the favorites. They lost to United recently, so that really defeats my argument all in one. Draw against Arsenal, though, says 1 point. They beat Liverpool, if you want to call them a top six team. We'll just go with this one. They drew against Spurs. They obviously beat City, so they're 5 points this season off top six teams. It's been pretty good for them. It's been pretty good. So last game of the season, Brentford will be fighting for some European spots too. It's at Brentford. Maybe I'm saying this to kind of make it a fun ending to the season, but I could see a draw. I think this will be a draw for Brentford, but I do also think City have the willpower to just get them over the line, but I'm going to go with a draw. The intriguing thing about this as I run through all these scenarios of what could happen to Arsenal and City is the fact that City players have been in this situation before and Arsenal players haven't. And I'm not talking about the fact that Arsenal players are going to choke this Premier League title out of the window. What I'm saying instead is City have handled this pressure of being behind in games. Look what happened at the end of last season when they were down 2-0 against Aston Villa. And they come back and win 3-2, what was it, three goals in like less than 10 minutes or something wild like that. Like, City are more than capable of doing that again, and now they have Erling Haaland and Jack Grealish playing at this unbelievable level. It's going to be a tight end to the Premier League season. With all of that said, and the records the way they are, I have Arsenal winning Premier League with 92 points, and Manchester City coming in second. 7-1-1 record for City with a 6-1-1 record for Arsenal. One thing I feel like a lot of people aren't considering in all of these scenarios when people are talking about City winning is the fact that Arsenal still have a cushion over them. That game against them at the Etihad Stadium is obviously going to be massive. And if Arsenal win that one, then see you later, City. This is Arsenal's league title. And I'd be happy for them. I'd be happy to see Arsenal win. I think it's a cool story for Mikel Arteta with his managerial career. And also, I think it's just good that Arsenal have stuck with Arteta and gone through the process. And now here they are, pushing for a league championship. Now, there was a question, I think it was on TalkSport. It was asked, if Arsenal don't win the Premier League, is it a disappointing season? I think the answer is yes, because they've led for almost the entire season, large portions of it at least. However, I still think that the season as a whole has been a great success for the team. The fact they've been challenging for this title, and if they wind up in second in the moment, it's going to be very disappointing. But I think as a whole of the progression of Arsenal FC, the Gunners, it's a massive success, and I think everyone in the club should be very happy with the accomplishment when it's all said and done. It's a shame they're not going to get the Europa League title in there too, but penalties will do that to you. Ask England. But there you have it. There's also, let me know. Let me know what you think. See if you see this video somewhere, just leave a little comment. But yeah, Liam, I agree. Arsenal will win the Premier League because they're the best, and Bukayo Saka is going to get robbed of the Young Player of the Year award because Erling Haaland's like a month away from being, what was it? He was like born a month early than what the award, or something wild like that. I don't know, something funky. But either way, fantastic season for everyone involved in Arsenal Football Club. But before we close out this podcast, we obviously got to take a quick look at what's going to go down in the Betway world this weekend. 19 plus, please bet responsibly, as always. I hit a nice bet tonight, actually, in the hockey world, on the Edmonton Oilers. My Edmonton Oilers, as they head off into the playoffs. But here's what we're looking at for the Premier League this weekend. Aston Villa taking on Newcastle. Aston Villa plus 260. To win at home against Newcastle, who are plus 110 to win away. Villa's been pretty good under Unai Emery. Plus 260 seems like a nice little spot there. Chelsea versus Brighton. Chelsea, the name value is getting them some money here at plus 162. But Brighton is the underdogs at plus 170. If I was you, I might be looking at that one too. Everton plus 105 at home against Fulham, plus 275. Southampton plus 175 against Crystal Palace, plus 170 there. I might look at Palace on that one too, if I had to be honest. Tottenham minus 223 against Bournemouth, or plus 500. Wolves plus 150 against Brentford, Brentford plus 200. And then to round out the Saturday matches, City versus City, like we spoke about. Man City minus 600 against Leicester. Plus 1,400 for Leicester if you're looking to feeling lucky. And just completely disagree with everything I just said about City's record for the end of the season. Maybe that's where you want to go. Sunday, we have West Ham, Arsenal. Arsenal minus 182 favorites away. West Ham plus 450. If you want to see Nate the Great's team get 3 points, plus 450 if you're liking that. Nottingham Forest versus Manchester United, the Red Devils. What a classic English clash that one is, isn't it? Plus 375 for Nottingham Forest, minus 143 for Manchester United. And then a game week, either way, last match on Monday, Leeds plus 300 against Liverpool. If it's somewhere else you're thinking of looking this weekend, I doubt you can get some Canadian Premier League stuff, but maybe you're finding something here and there that you're liking. But there you have it, folks. That's a wrap on episode 10. We never clarified what it was, but I believe it's episode 10 of Extra Time. Presented by Betway. Go check out Betway. Bet responsibly. They got a variety of sports on there too. It doesn't just have to be football. If you like basketball, playoffs are starting soon. Baseball's been going now for a couple of weeks here. Hockey season playoffs hitting its stride right away. See what you can find. Let me know. Until next time though, farewell.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.